Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast. This is the space and the place for leadership learning. I'm Joanne Smichael. I'm a speaker, an educator, a consultant, and a forever student of the world. Enjoy this episode. I am almost as tired of hearing the word resilience as I am of hearing the word transparency. I understand the concepts, and I still think the words are overused and sometimes misused. Resilience is touted as one of the most desirable qualities an individual can possess. It's commonly described as the ability to bounce back from adversity, to adapt to challenges, and to thrive despite hardship. Of course, those things are true. Well, they're sort of true. In reality, the concept of resilience has been misused, mischaracterized, and oversimplified a lot. A client told me she feels like she's being beat over the head with resilience. She described it as a tool to make her feel guilty because she's tired by being overworked and overutilized. Another client told me that the term resilience is now seeming like a code for pushing people beyond reasonable limits. It's as if people are supposed to be invulnerable to stress and pressure just because they're resilient, and nothing could be further from reality. I don't argue with these people at all. Today, I'm going to talk about what resilience is not. It is a valid, valuable psychological construct. I'm not saying that there's no such thing as resilience. What I'm going to do is deal with the popular myths about it. And I probably will get to why these misunderstandings are so problematic. That's my goal. So number one, because we're resilient doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to recover or rebound quickly. Healing, hurt, setbacks, disappointments, they require time for healing. Being resilient doesn't mean that you can just shake off pain and move on, and it doesn't mean that recovery will be swift. Resilience just means that recovery will happen, but not at the speed of light. Number two, resilience is not a magic fix for systemic problems in our lives or in our organizations. That's because there are no magic fixes. Fixes require root cause analyses, they require reflection, and they require deep dives. There's no magic in those things. It's just hard work. Number three, resilience is not innate and it is not fixed. Let me explain what I'm talking about, what I mean. Resilience isn't a quality that you either have or you don't. And it's not a personality trait. It's not inherited and it's not genetic. It's a muscle that you get to develop if you want to. It's something you can shape and strengthen over time and with practice, and you can reshape it. That second part about it not being fixed means that it can grow. It's not like you're born with 32 ounces of resilience and that has to last you your whole life. It's not like that. This is something we all get to keep cultivating. Four, I want to come back to what I said earlier. Resilience is not a synonym for invulnerability. No one is invincible. No matter how resilient you are, stress, trauma, pain, disappointment, they're going to affect you. And they affect each of us in different ways. And let's not pretend that because we're resilient, we don't feel emotional or psychological distress. One of the phrases that I hate to hear when I'm going through a tough time is, "You'll get over it. You'll get through it." Maybe I will and maybe I won't. When we're dismissive like that, it implies that the other person is somehow impervious to the pain that they're experiencing. Resilient people experience the full range of human emotions during hardship. The difference is that resilient people find ways to cope, to learn, navigate, and move forward, even when that forward motion is slow and painful. Let me tell you why this idea of resilience and invulnerability being synonyms is problematic. It's because people who demonstrate strength are often expected to just power through without support. So what happens when they run out of power? Are they not entitled to support? Vulnerability, needing support, needing encouragement and help, none of these things negate a person's resilience. Whew, I obviously feel pretty strongly about that one. Let me get off my soapbox and move to number five. And number five is that resilience is not endurance without limits. It's not endless grit and perseverance. In fact, perseverance can be misguided. Everybody has a breaking point. None of us can or should tolerate endless trauma, adversity, suffering, or abuse. I don't know why we have this crazy notion that we should admire people who put up with everything, who tolerate being misused and mistreated, and don't complain. Where did that hail the martyr syndrome come from? I don't understand that. Putting up with hardship doesn't mean you're resilient. Sometimes it just means that you're accustomed to victimization and that you need help. Silence may mean that a person is suppressed. It may mean that they've learned helplessness. Martin Seligman wrote a great book on learned helplessness. True resilience, real resilience, is about setting boundaries. It's not about enduring what should never be tolerated or allowing chronic stress to be the norm or about passive acceptance of the unacceptable. Whew, I'm hot about this topic. I guess I didn't realize how much passion I have about it. Let me get to number six. Resilience is not about suppressing emotions. I've alluded to that. Just because a person doesn't express what they feel doesn't mean that they don't feel it. It also doesn't negate I'm getting all tongue-tied. I'm so passionate about this. It doesn't negate the legitimacy of those feelings. When we pat people on the back for staying strong or never letting us see them sweat or never letting their feelings show, what we're encouraging is not resilience. It's not. We're encouraging people to silence their voices. We're not promoting emotional strength. We're promoting emotional suppression. That's not resilience. The danger or the dangers in suppressing emotions is that they're eventually going to show up, and maybe in not so nice ways. Another danger that I see is that it sets a norm for people to deny their truths and their realities. Why do I have to deny me to make you comfortable? That just does not make sense. It is important to create environments, not just at work, but in life, where we don't misconstrue resilience with suppression. Let's encourage emotional agility. Let's encourage people to be as tough as they want or need to be. And let's acknowledge and recognize one another's emotions. Seventh thing I want to hit on is resilience is not a solo journey. This idea that strong people overcome on their own or that self-made people jump the hurdles by sheer will, that is fiction and fantasy. We're wired for connection. We're wired to give and receive support. Resilience does not and cannot happen in a vacuum. There are families, friends, therapists, clergy, counselors, colleagues, any number of people who form the village that help resilient people get through. Resilience requires buffers, community, and connection. That's how we thrive. Isolation and resilience are not aligned. Isolation can cause us to internalize our failures, view ourselves as weak or unworthy, and to fail to make use of the resources around us. Number eight, resilience is not about living in a fantasy. I mean that resilience doesn't mean we're perpetually optimistic. If you're optimistic all the time, no matter what's going on, you're probably over-medicated. Come on. Resilient people feel defeat. Resilient people get defeated. Resilient people experience self-doubt. Resilient people experience fear. Let us be clear and dispel these Pollyanna ideas about laughter, smiles, and grins always being on the face of resilient people. That's just not reality. Number eight. Oh, no, I just told you number eight. Let me go to the next one. That's actually number nine. Resilience is not about bouncing back to the same place. That's really falling behind. Resilience is bouncing forward. It's using what we learn in the hardships to propel us ahead of where we were, to move us to where we never imagined we could be. Because it's a tool for navigating life's challenges, this is how we know that nobody wants to go back to the same challenge. We want to use what we've learned to move through and move ahead. That whole bounce back idea takes away our power to transform. And I mean to transform ourselves, our lives, our organizations, to really be transformational human beings. Bouncing back means we didn't grow and denied ourselves the power to have a refined or different identity. So those are the 9 things that resilience is not. Those are the 9 things. Oh, shoot. I forgot. There's one more thing I do want to talk about, and that's moral superiority. Just because you happen to demonstrate resilience does not mean that you've achieved some super state of being. All it means is that you have practiced skills that have helped you navigate life and hopefully navigate it well. Don't use resilience as a tool to shame other people. Nowhere, and I mean nowhere in any definition of resilience that I've seen, is moral superiority or an inherent betterness of a person. Get a grip. Get over yourself if you're thinking your resilience is somehow making you better than the rest of us mere mortals. That's not true. Now, I want you to give yourself and give others grace on the whole idea of resilience. Don't make it a weapon. Cultivate genuine resilience in yourself and then pass the lessons on. You can do this. We're meant to be connected. We're meant to be compassionate. And we're meant to bounce forward. Thank you for listening. Be sure that you subscribe and share. You can get more leadership learning from my YouTube channel and by following me on Instagram. Reach out when you're looking for a speaker to energize your next event. Reach out when you need curated leadership learning for your organization. Reach out when you're ready for consulting that will help your organization fulfill its potential. I'm Joanne Smichel, and thank you for tuning in.